On our program today, we're visiting with Tom Kinert. Tom is the food and health specialist with Human Services, Iowa State University Extension Outreach, serves our area here, one of many counties he covers. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
He does serve safe. We got a chance to hear from him before Thanksgiving. Hopefully, if you followed his advice and you were going to do your turkey properly and thawed out, you just put it days in advance in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. kept it at that temperature.
Yep.
Poultry. It's a challenging topic, poultry. So.
Well, I think it's also the time of year where everyone's expected to suddenly make, you know, a whole feast for their family, and sometimes it's hard to know where to start.
Yeah. You said start by shopping smart.
Yep.
Do that. Was it Spend Smart?
Yep. Spend Smart, Eat Smart. It's an app and website from Iowa State Extension. So if you're looking for easy peasy recipes or you're looking for ways of utilizing your leftovers, it's a great way of getting information and getting recipes that are high nutrient, low cost, low sodium.
And folks, you might remember we told us before, zucchini, steam, not a fan, but there are other ways to eat it.
Absolutely.
So anyway, all right, so let's talk about it. Here we are after the feast. For some are just wrapping it up, and some will be having it going forward here a little bit. But this is a busy time of the year for, again, one of the areas that you really focus on, the serve safe.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so food safety is extremely important, and especially, you know, if you're just serving, you know, just yourself, that's one thing. But when you're serving lots of other people, you're kind of taking their health into your hands. And so I'm going to say it again, wash hands, keep hot food hot, keep cold food cold.
And for those that have been following along with some of the illnesses around norovirus, when you hear that, somebody didn't wash your hands, probably, as a rule.
Correct. And the, you know, these pathogens just exist in the world, and norovirus is something that probably most people listening have experienced at some point. When people say, oh, I had a stomach bug and whatnot, that's probably norovirus. It spreads very easily. And so if you're not feeling well, don't cook for others.
There you go. All right. So let's talk a little bit about doing these leftovers. So hopefully nobody left their so some of the extension people we talked about, you mean after 4 hours, I can't go? No, that's probably a little long to have left things sitting out. So after your meal, hopefully you put things away quickly, because that was one of the things that people tend to overlook. They think, well, it's hot, I need to let it cool down. No, you don't.
True.
The quicker it cools down, the better.
Correct. Yeah. When food is exposed to the temperature danger zone, which is 41 degrees to 135, especially when things are 70 to 125. So when things are warm, that is the area that bacteria loves to grow and spread and multiply. And so my suggestion is to serve up food and then quickly try and cool off anything that you know that you aren't going to need.
So one of the challenges we have coming up is a lot of people are going to be hosting parties, mm-hmm. get-togethers, football games, everything else that'll mm-hmm. be going on, of course. So what are some ideas here? What are some tips? Because they put out a spread. How long do they leave it there? Do they move things in and out? What's a good way to handle that?
So I always suggest that, you know, have people eat, but don't just let it sit out for several hours. You don't want some food in the temperature danger zone. So if something's been in the temperature danger zone for 4 hours, you're supposed to discard it. My suggestion is also to kind of, called instead of leftovers, think of it as planned overs. Like, I know that I have way more turkey than I need, so what am I going to plan on doing with it beyond that point?
Sure.
I think that, I mean, we all know we can make little turkey sandwiches with a little cranberry sauce. There's some of those obvious things. But if you know, like, I have way more turkey than I'm going to want to get through, and, you know, it's more than by the end of it, I might be kind of sick of it, plan ahead and freeze some of that. So if you pull off the turkey off the bone, put it in nice freezer bags, close it, label it, pop it in your freezer, because maybe, you know, a couple weeks down the road, you're like, you know, I'm going to make some turkey noodle soup. And great, you've already got some cooked meat ready to go there. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes after Thanksgiving, the days preceding, I don't really feel like mashed potatoes and gravy and ham and stuffing. I did that on Thursday. I don't really feel like doing that on Thursday, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So planning ahead and being cognizant of, you know, cooling food quickly, planning ahead and freezing, it definitely is a way of kind of investing in your future meals.
Unless you have a large family or something.
Sure.
More people, if they're doing the, say, 10, 13, 14-pound bird, for most families, you're going to end up with about a half a breast left anyway.
No question.
And that's a sizable piece of meat that can be used very, very readily for a lot of things.
Absolutely. And so I encourage people to be creative. I think soups are a really great way of utilizing leftovers. So let's say you've got a whole bunch of mashed potatoes and ham, you know, leftover from that. You could certainly turn that into a ham and potato soup. Dice up the ham, kind of use that mashed potatoes as kind of the thickener, kind of the base. Certainly, I love chicken stock and turkey stock. And so, again, if you have not time temperature abused your leftover bones, you don't want the ones that, you know, people have been gnawing on and getting their mouth all over. But if you still got some carcass left over, turn around and turn that into a chicken stock or a turkey stock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way of utilizing something that you already have. There's a lot of great benefits to eating chicken stock and turkey stock. There's a reason people say eat chicken noodle soup when you're sick. There's a reason for that.
It's best bet, because I can remember my mother doing this after she would pick pick the bones off and then she would do some bouillon or something and boil it. And then she ended up either freezing or canning the product. You know, the juice or the stock, if you will.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're gonna use canning and make it shelf stable, make sure you're following a tested recipe from the National Center for Home Food Preservation. The other option is, if you just got some bones, you know, if you want a soup now, go ahead and just turn around and just turn those turkey bones into, a turkey stock now. Or if, again, you're like, I'm burnt out on turkey, I don't want to see turkey for a little bit, go ahead and just throw those bones in the freezer, put them in a nice bag, label them, pop them in later. Turkey noodle soup is great. If you got mashed potatoes, sometimes
they don't last as long.
They don't hold up as well in a you can microwave them a little bit, but certainly leftover mashed potatoes, I think, are a great, so if you have that turkey stock, you've got that mashed potatoes, that's pretty much a soup base right there for you.
Most people might be wondering, you can tell he's got this chef background. He does know this cooking part.
I used to work on campus, and so when you have a lot of turkey breast and you got a lot of mashed potatoes left over, it's important not to just be like, surprise, it's yesterday's food. Trying to reimagine it and maybe do it try it in a different style might be a way of re-enticing your family.
So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, saving it. How long when you're freezing, say some of the leftover meat, is there a time frame? Because I'm guessing after a while, you want to use it within a couple of months, I would think.
Correct. So making sure that you're investing in good, either freezer bags or freezer safe containers is a good step. If you just use, typical Ziplocs or an old sour cream container, these aren't really meant to be frozen, and they're going to let a lot of moisture in, and it's going to cause the texture. Yeah, just get a lot of ice crystals and bad texture on there. So if you are going to freeze something, I do suggest using freezer bags or another food safe container, and then label it, because I don't know about y'all, there's things in my freezers I can't quite identify, and even though I know that I froze it. So take the time to write yourself, hey, this is turkey bones from this day. Yes, and try and use things up as soon as you possibly can, or within a couple of months. Yeah. The colder the freezer is, the less freezer burn you're going to get. So when things are held at 0 degrees, you get less of those ice crystals than you do if the freezer is at 10 degrees, for instance.
So maybe your freezer on your refrigerator might, if you have a deep freeze somewhere, which might be colder, might be the better way to go if you're going to try to save it a little
while. Absolutely. And especially with something like if you're freezing, turkey bones, turkey carcass, you might need a little extra space anyway. Yeah. So trying to make sure that it is properly stored, take as much air out as you can, label it, and then freeze it for a time when, you might be interested in that turkey again.
I'm a fan of my vacuum sealer thing.
Absolutely.
I like using that. So now we've got, we've stored our turkey, or we're going to be doing some other things. Okay, so one of the fun things I always see coming up here is that crock pot full of the little wieners, little Vienna sausages. So how long do they stay out? And because a lot of parties people are having, that's one of the mainstays. It's sitting there. People will come and scoop some up. And You know, those are, you got meat and cheese trays. You've got a lot of these things that are out here. Again, a couple hours at the most.
Yeah. Temperature danger zone for 4 hours and then pitch it. So if your cocktail weenies are in a crock pot and they're keeping them at 135, yeah.
Pretty good there?
Pretty good there. So you're keeping them nice and warm. But then again, when you're going to try and cool them down, giving things space. If you have, you know, let's say like a, if you're stacked into a small container, it's going to hold on to that heat. So if you are trying to cool something down, giving it space, putting it into smaller containers. And again, try and plan ahead, because maybe you're tired of cocktail weenies and you don't want to see them right now. Maybe the best choice is to pop them into a freezer bag, for a later date.
Sure. And then there's always the veggie trays, because I know you said you're a veggie fan.
I am a veggie fan, and guess what? All those leftover carrot sticks and celery sticks, assuming that, you know, people haven't been putting their fingers all over them and contaminating them, those also could be used in a turkey stock or as used in veggies in that turkey noodle soup you might make. So don't just throw away all the veggies on those trays. I think as long as they are not contaminated and have not been time temperature abused, totally a perfect way of utilizing that for a soup.
So I think, again, those that are setting out those kinds of displays and stuff, or having people come, buffets, I guess, would be an easier way to call it, because it's kind of set up that way for a lot of people. Sometimes they'll do separate holiday meals. They look at other options, like you said, maybe done with turkey, but
sure,
ham, other things that come up. Isn't there an oyster stew thing this time of year? I can recall my father liking that.
Well, again, if you got those mashed potatoes left over, you could certainly make yourself a chowder out of that that nice potato base.
So it's always, there's always something there. Can they find those recipes like on your Spend Smart Eat Smart?
Yeah, so on Spend Smart Eat Smart, there's we also have a blog on there, and so I actually pulled up a blog from a couple years ago, which is all, it's called Don't Like Leftovers, Eat Planovers. So it's just talking about different, and so it's links to a couple different recipes that might be used in a couple different ways. So we have like the whole meal salad, which is thinking of instead of thinking of salad as this thing that you have to get through to get to your meat and potatoes, using a salad as kind of a base and kind of adding a lot of those things to it and kind of bulking out a salad is a really great opportunity. So if you have that leftover turkey breast, you can totally have it as a salad. You can also use it as a fried rice. So we have a ham and brown rice recipe. We have a slow cooker black-eyed pea soup, Fiesta skillet dinner. We got a whole bunch of different recipes that could be utilized. So if you have that leftover ham, that leftover turkey, and you want to reimagine it, hop on to Spend Smart, Eat Smart. There's a lot of really great recipes there.
And again, those are some of the easy things. Like you said, plan over.
Yeah.
Think about it, and you don't have to spend a lot of time. Those sound like pretty simple recipes, be able to do with a few additional ingredients and things like that.
Absolutely. And if you also plan ahead and put things into smaller containers, it also takes up less space in your fridge. Because I've definitely seen where sometimes, we got all these leftovers, and then they're just trying to pile all those like full trays of things and leftover, you know, turkey carcass into your fridge. By leaving it as a large, you know, large bird that's been, hasn't been cut down, it's going to take slower to cool down. Mm-hmm. And so if you, you know, pull the meat off of the bones, put them into smaller containers, or just pop some of them up in the freezer, you're not going to completely fill your fridge with leftovers that are very warm, and the more warm things you put into your fridge, the more you're going to raise the overall temperature in that fridge. And it's just going to be fighting against,
you're going to make it work harder.
Yeah. It's going to work harder, and it's going to cool slower.
All right, so tell me, how good is four and out the door? Is that a good, say, 4 days?
Oh, yeah.
Out the door.
That's absolutely,
My wife thing.
Oh, I think that is a great way to think of it. And so think of today as day one with that. So, yeah, labeling things for just a couple of days. And always remember that if you are introducing... I'll say this. If somebody's getting their fingers all over something, it's going to grow bacteria more quickly than if it's a sealed container or if it's if it's one that hasn't been touched on.
Sure.
So I think that's a really good, you know, four and out the door. I think that's a great, great benchmark. But also know that if somebody has gotten their fingers or their mouth all over it, it's going to grow bacteria more quickly than if it's been uncontaminated.
So say you take your turkey and you put it in the. You pick the bones off, or you got the meat, and you set it in a container in the fridge, and you're, you know, it's cooled down, and couple of days and you go, look, I'm not going to be getting into this here in the next mm-hmm. couple of days, then it's still freezable?
As long as it hasn't been time temperature abused, as long as it hasn't just been sitting around a long time. Again, I know for a fact that I get burnt out on things. And so, again, if I got a whole turkey for my little family of three, I know we're going to have a whole bunch of meat left over that I'm not going to want to see on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. So by planning ahead, freezing that ahead, I can pull that out in December and make a turkey noodle soup or a ham and ham potato soup.
And or when other company comes over.
Look, exactly. Look what I magically pulled out of the freezer.
We got this for you here. Again, recipes, like you said, always available. Again, Extension has a ton of information available.
Absolutely. And another thing that I want to bring up is the holidays can be very difficult. I mean, you have a lot of family. You might have family coming in from out of town or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have somebody to be with over the holidays. Holidays tends to be a very stressful time for folks, and so I want to let people know about the Iowa Concern Line, which is available from Extension and Outreach. So if you need somebody to talk to, our services are free and confidential, and there is language interpretation available. So if you need some stress counseling, you just need somebody to talk to, it's a free resource mm-hmm. for folks to use. Or if maybe you also need some legal education, maybe somebody stole your identity and you don't exactly know who to turn to, Iowa Concern Line is one of those resources available to Iowans.
I was also going to say, you also have a whole area of people that are available for some of the finance. If all of a sudden they've gone kind of crazy with shopping and need a little financial planning part of that.
Sure.
Again, I remember some of the things in the past, you know, start planning in January and February for next Christmas and start saving for that and doing those kinds of things too. So again, and then we get around to resolution time, which that'll be coming up.
For sure. So, I just want to give that Iowa Concern Line number real quick. So, that number for Iowa Concern Line is 1-800-447-1985. That number again is 1-800-447-1985. They have free legal education, finance, stress counseling, totally available.
If they can't answer your question right away, they'll find somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think sometimes it's hard to know where to go, and the internet is full of no shortage of information. What's nice about the information from Iowa State Extension and Outreach is it is researched. It is factual.
And it's been there for a while. And that's why 1985, when it first was set up, because of the farm crisis.
Oh, that makes sense.
See?
There you go. Learning.
It's a good thing I'm old and remember all these things. No, it is. Again, a great access, a great resource, and feel free to use it too.
Absolutely. So yeah, so you brought up resolutions, and so as we look ahead to, hasn't gotten quite as cold yet as we were expecting, but there will come a day that it's snowy, it's icy, we can't get outside comfortably, and we still need to make sure that we are being physically active. Because by being active, is certainly obviously important for weight management, but also it's good for strong bones, strong muscles and joints. It lowers our risk for heart disease, colon cancer, and type 2 diabetes. We sleep better, we have more energy during the day, better flexibility and posture. And so on Spend Smart, Eat Smart, if you go there is a tab at the top that says Move. And what's great about the information and the videos there is they are low impact. So if you're looking to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is probably not the website for you. Yeah. This is more like, I need to make sure that I'm being active during the winter. How do I do that? First thing is to think about like what types of activities do you enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. Because that's going to be the lowest barrier to entry. I prefer biking over running, so to get me on a bicycle it's pretty easy. So just trying to think about what types of activities you enjoy. Is there a way that you can also work that the social element into it? I personally always sign up for a exercise class during the winter just because it's kind of nice going, being with other people, and being physically active and having that social element definitely can be very beneficial in making sure that we stick to our resolutions.
Tom Kinert is our guest, food and health specialist, Iowa State University Extension Outreach, Human Sciences. And once again, a lot of this information is available, like reading a lot of it right off the website again, because that's where the information is. There's Absolutely. A ton of it out there. And once again, if they ever have any questions, I know they can always get in contact with the local office to yes. get a hold of you, send you an email or whatever, because you great. Spend a lot of time. You cover not only Boone County, but
yep.
But what, 5-6 counties here in Central Iowa? Or?
So I cover 10 counties, but 10? I mostly focus on 3 of them. So I mostly focus on Dallas, Polk, and Boone.
Okay. Busy time. Busy
Absolutely. yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty. Tom Kinert, our guest on the program today. Thanks so much. Hey, by the way, everybody, eat safe. Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.